Okay, so the question was asked, a quick overview of the laws of Tevilas Kelim. The Torah tells us when the Jews conquered the Midianites, so God told them, you have to purge the vessels of the non-kosher flavor that's in them, and you also have to place them in Nida waters. The main Nida Yitchata, they should be purified in Nida waters. What is Nida waters? That's the waters that are a mikvah water, the waters in which a woman after her period immerses in order to purify herself. A man also would immerse himself in those waters to purify himself. What is commonly known as a mikveh. Mikveh literally means a crevice in the earth which has natural water in it. So mikveh literally means a crevice. Vessels, the Torah tells us, have to be immersed in mikveh waters. Now, the Torah tells us which vessels have to be immersed in mikveh waters. Vessels that went from non-Jewish ownership to Jewish ownership, and that Jew intends on using them for food. That's going to be their primary purpose. If those vessels were made of one of the metals, achet hazehav, the gold, the nechoshet, the copper, the barzel, the metal, the bedil, the ofaret, earthenware, different forms of metals, they have to be toiveled in mikveh waters. So if one purchases a new set of dishes, cutlery, one has to immerse them in mikveh water. You buy new knives, even if the handle is plastic. The knife is metal, they have to be immersed in mikveh waters. Let's say you didn't know these laws and you've been using your vessels for the last 20 years and now you just heard this class. So then we say clean them very, very well. Because when you immerse something in mikveh waters, it must be absolutely clean. There can't be anything that's separating between the vessel and the mikveh waters. And then you take it to mikveh and you toivel it. Let's say your guests at your parents' home, and they're not interested in toiveling their kelim. So still, you could take it if they don't mind. You take it, you go out to the mikveh, you toivel them, and you bring them back. You don't have to own a kli in order to toivel it. Even though they're your parents' vessels, you could still toivel them. Now, what about glass vessels? So the rabbis instituted, rabbinically, that one is obligated to toivel glass vessels. So that means if we have glass cups that we buy at the store and things like that, we have to toivel them. We bring them to the mikveh, we put them in. How do you toivel a vessel? You put it in the mikveh. You make sure the vessel is completely encompassed with mikveh waters, which would mean in a cup that is totally full with mikveh water. You let go for drops, a split second. There's just got to be a split second where your hand releases it and then you take it out. Now what you could also do is, the way I do it, is I take a basket with holes, a basket, and then I take the vessel. I make sure the vessel, let's say it's a cup, fills with water. There are no air bubbles inside. I drop it into the basket. Then I don't have to worry it'll sink to the bottom of the mikveh. And on the other end, it was toiveled. Now this works if the whole basket is in the water or the basket has a lot of holes, like a laundry basket. If you have a basket that's, let's say, a whole basket, you take a bucket and you stick it into the mikveh waters. So then the second the waters are in the bucket and the bucket's lips are outside the water, so then you're not toiveling it in the mikveh, you're toiveling it in the bucket. So that doesn't work. It has to be that the lips, the bucket, if you're going to use a bucket without holes, then the bucket has to be completely immersed in the water. I would recommend not do that. Right, that's fine. I would recommend not using a bucket. I would recommend using it's also difficult to schlep out a bucket with water and the vessels. It's more practical to take a laundry basket or that type of basket that's filled with holes. You put it in the water and then you drop the vessels into that basket. Sure, but a knife might cut through that. You don't want to lose your vessels to the bottom of the mikveh. Your best bet is using a mikveh like here in Givat Shaul, where the mikveh for vessels isn't deep. You could reach down to the bottom and take out the vessels. I used to use a mikveh in Mansi, which you could see on the bottom, glittering gold. There are a lot of vessels that people drop there. So if where you live, that's the mikveh you have, so then make sure to use a basket. You don't want to lose your vessels down there. Okay. Now, not every sea is kosher mikveh. You can't just use a sea or an ocean and assume it's a kosher mikveh. You have to consult the local Orthodox rabbis. Many local rivers are non-kosher mikvehs. That's a complicated halachic calculation, and the local rabbi should find out. Each one will ask the local Orthodox rabbi. I don't know the stats for today. What's happening in each sea? I don't know. I mean, it might be you could easily find out. I don't know. Now, when you toivel glass vessels, so you also make a bracha, al tevilas kelim, and you toivel the glass vessels as well. What about china? So our china and our porcelain are coated with glass. China, earthenware, when you buy a mug today for a dollar, for 4 shekel, that mug is coated. That's why it has that smooth feeling, because it's coated with glass. So technically it's said in halacha that those vessels that are coated with glass, we treat them as glass vessels, and they require tefillas kelim as well. Rabbi Feinstein writes in a tshuva that was talking in their times. In their times, the glass coating was so thick that it constituted a vessel in and of itself. That's why it would require tefillah. Our coatings are so thin that if you didn't have the vessel itself, then for the coating alone, you wouldn't be able to use it as a vessel, and therefore he says it would not require tefillah. Here in Eretz Yisrael, people do not rely on Rabbi Feinstein. So when you get married, Bezrat Hashem, and you get as a gift, be it a Korel set, be it a set of china, whatever it is, if you live here in Israel, you cannot rely on Rabbi Feinstein. You have to go and teufel that set, because plastic does not need tevila. Plastic, wood, that does not need tevila.
Thermoses are glass coated as well.
Thermoses are metal and glass, no? Or the primary kli is glass. Thermos might need tevila. I don't know. I have a metal thermos. I teufeled it. So that goes into a different question of how do you estimate what's the primary part of a vessel, meaning all the liquids go into the glass. A can opener, they say Rav Mordechai Eliyahu said needs tevila. I don't know why. I haven't heard it from him. Yeah, you need to tevil vessels that come in direct contact with the food, either when you eat it or when you make the food, in the final stages of making food. Can opener, I don't see that my can openers don't come in contact with the food and they don't make the food, they open the cans. I don't understand if he really said it. Then I'm missing something. I have to understand what he said. It's not in the preparation of food. What are they coming in contact with? Maybe the juice that you don't eat from the corn, or the liquid that you don't drink from the pickles. They're not really coming in contact, they're not preparing the food. Now it also has to be that you purchase the vessels for the sake of using them. Meaning, when I want to honor someone, Mishloach Manos, if I'm bringing a big rabbi Mishloach Manos, I give them the Mishloach Manos in a glass vessel. Now I always run to the problem that I'm making them more trouble than I'm worth. I give them a glass vessel, they have to schlep out to the mikveh to toivel it. But I can't toivel it for them, because you have to purchase the vessel for the sake of use. If you purchase it for the sake of giving it to someone else, you can't toivel it. So when you're a store owner, and you bought a lot of vessels, you own all the dishes, you cannot toivel them. Not only won't you, because it's your store, but you can't, even if you wanted to. You didn't buy it for the purpose of use. You own it for the purpose of resale. Then you can't toivel it. Now let's say you have a pocket knife, which you use all the time to whittle wood and who knows what else. And every so often when you're on a camping trip, you also use it to slice your hot dog. So we say, being that the primary purpose of that pocket knife is not for use of food, even though every so often you do use it for food, that pocket knife does not require tevila. You don't have to tevil it. It has to be a vessel that's used primarily for food, that's used on a steady basis for food.
What about electric energy?
So this is where it gets a little sticky. You buy an oven. So what comes in direct contact with the food? The oven trays. You place your toast on the tray. So those trays require tevila. What about the oven itself? So it doesn't come in direct contact with the food. What if you buy a little toaster that you stick the bread into the toaster? So then it would seem that would require tevila. What if you buy... So each one should consult their local Orthodox rabbi, because the question is, if it'll ruin the toaster, what do you do? So there's a simple eitzah, especially if you have friends, if you're living out in Hungary and you have neighbors who are non-Jews, you could sell them or give them as a gift the vessel that is, and then it doesn't require tevila. You could use a non-Jew's vessel, meaning if I have a coffee maker, I once got a coffee maker as a gift. Now, I was scared that if I tevil it, then it won't last the tevila. I tevilled a hot water urn, an electric hot water urn, and it really did not last the tevila. So I have a friend who tevilled for a hotel. He told me 250 hot water urns, and he said not one broke. He said, I didn't dry mine well. He said, if you leave it out on the rooftop to dry for a long time, then you leave it for 2-3 days in the hot sun to dry, then you have no problem. He said, I was in a rush. I tevilled it Friday morning, and I needed it for that Shabbos. So I didn't have it for that Shabbos. Haste makes waste, right? Nachlam v'helet v'rishona. If you're quick to get an inheritance, achita lo tevorach. Ultimately, it won't be blessed.
More haste, less speed.
What?
The expression, more haste, less speed.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Yafe. So, when it comes to electric items, each one should consult the local Orthodox rabbi. I mean, you're going to toivel your microwave oven, you won't have a microwave oven. So how do you get around that? Each one will consult with their rabbi to figure out what to do. It could be that a microwave oven doesn't need tevila because it doesn't... What comes in contact with the food? The plate. Right. So the plate, you could toivel. The issue is more hot water and that comes in direct contact with the food, mixer. What about a kumkum chashmali, if you have an electric tea kettle? So,
no,
oh, a regular tea kettle? Tea kettle needs the tevila, yeah.
No,
an electric tea kettle, so, yeah, hot water urn. So here in Israel, you have some that are made by Electro Hanan, that are Israeli products. But technically, a lot of them would need tevila, and that's what my friend told me, that they placed them out in the sun and they all dried and they worked afterwards. They immersed them in the water and afterwards they left them out to dry. So then it's Jewish. You bought something that's manufactured by a Jew, that's made by a Jew, that was owned by a Jew. You don't have to tevil it. It's only if you purchase an item from a non-Jew. If it goes from non-Jewish ownership to Jewish ownership.
So to buy any other category?
Yeah, every vessel. The same thing would be with the stick blenders. You know, those hand-held blenders, you hold them in a room. So what comes in contact with the food is the metal blade.
What about those Shabbos?
Same thing. So what they sometimes do, each one should consult with their local Orthodox rabbi. There are tricks of how to get around it. You'll see what's most practical where you're located.
Symbolically giving it to an okay?
Why symbolically? No. It has to be real.
Well, because you're using it after it never leaves your property.
It doesn't matter. I could have something in my property that's owned by someone else.
So what's the process?
So that's a longer conversation. Practically, I mean, what you could do is tell them, look, here's the deal. I want you to own my coffee maker so that I could use it. And you explain to him that you want it legally to be his and you'd like to make a deal where he'll make some money off of it. You tell him, I have a coffee maker at home. Here, you could. Let's leave that because that goes into a longer discussion of how you make a kinyan with a guy. How do you make a transaction with a non-Jew?
And I heard an opinion that things are chashmalim because they're connected to the ground, they don't need defense.
So that's why when you asked the question initially, I said each person should consult with a local Orthodox rabbi. You asked more details, so I told you my tradition. That's why I'm not saying there aren't more lenient traditions. That's why each one can consult with their rabbi, and maybe their rabbi will be more lenient. Rav Halberstam Zatzal told me that any vessel that will get ruined from the tevila does not require tevila. And when I asked him for a source where it says that, he said, look over there. So I looked over there and I came back to him and I said, I didn't find it. So he said, okay, I'll show you. And I came back to him 3 or 4 more times asking him for where it says that. And then he passed away without showing me. But that's how he paskined. He's got broad shoulders. You could rely on him. Any vessel, he said, that would get ruined by the tevila does not require tevila. Any questions?
Yeah, which place is the Yaakov?